I am joined by my associate in banter, Matt Bellany of The Hollywood Reporter. Hello, Matt.
Hi there.
So let's talk about South Park. You know, against the
still on, it's still on.
It's still on.
First thing first.
Yes, it is still on. And many people who may have forgotten that have been reminded, against the backdrop of protests in Hong Kong, as the Chinese government has tried to crack down, Hong Kong is used to independence and protests have been ongoing and massive. And scary. Against that backdrop, South Park decided to do an episode in which someone, a geologist turned pot dealer, Randy Marsh, shouted, "F the Chinese government." This did not go over well in China, it's safe to say.
No, not only was the show banned, but all references to South Park have been scrubbed from the Chinese internet, and people aren't allowed to discuss the episode as well, or the show. This really just does raise all the issues that are going on right now between free speech and the bottom line. And it's impacting Hollywood. It's impacting the NBA, which stepped in it this past week as well. It's impacting the future of the content business, really.
You know, it's tough. As soon as China started expanding the number of screens it has, and of course it has this enormous population, Hollywood has been panting to figure out how to exploit that. And they've had their struggles. You know, a lot of people went there trying to get financing and ended up very disappointed. The cultural differences were like a chasm. People thought they heard yes, but it wasn't yes for certain deals. A lot of people got hurt. Nonetheless, that is a pot of gold worth chasing. You know, you get a movie into China, you get access to that big box office. And if you can make it a Chinese co-production, you get a much higher percentage of the box office. Of course, that subjects you to Chinese censorship. And the Chinese are getting increasingly heavy-handed. And it's not even just the censorship. You know, again, the Hong Kong situation is dire, and there is great repression of the Uyghur population, people locked away in concentration camps, very terrible, terrible stories of what's going on there. It's really uncomfortable. And I don't quite know how Hollywood navigates this stuff. You know, up until now, on something like Transformers, you know, we saw Paramount jump through all the hoops to just do anything to get access to China. Maybe on a movie like that, it doesn't matter so much. But on certain movies, you know, I think it's going to be tricky because certain filmmakers probably will not want to be leaned on to accommodate the Chinese.
Well, but if you talk to the top level studio executives, and I've talked to a number of them about this, they're very open. They say they operate in a number of different markets around the world where there are various regimes that have awful human rights records and different political situations. And they are a global business. Hollywood is a global business now, and they can't afford to not be in those territories. So the studios are very open about it. They are going to kowtow to China to get access to that market.
Certainly, Richard Gere has claimed that he is not working because of his support for Tibet, you know, and we saw Apple drop him from a series. Apple, the same company that pulled an app that Hong Kong protesters were using to locate the police. So I'm just saying that kind of thing at a certain point in a community like Hollywood that's based around artists and progressive values, it feels like at some point there's a collision and it may be closer now because of the situation with the Uyghurs and with Hong Kong.
Yeah, and we haven't had a situation in Hollywood quite like what the NBA has experienced where, you know, you had this executive tweet support for the Hong Kong protesters and then all hell broke loose and China canceled the broadcast of the NBA games and pulled sponsorships. And now a real revenue stream is at risk and players are caught in the middle. You know, LeBron James got absolutely eviscerated because he has been a big proponent of human rights and standing up for marginalized communities. And yet he put out a statement and later followed it up with tweets that suggested he was standing for the bottom line of the NBA over these Hong Kong protesters. So it just really puts everyone's values and financial incentives in conflict.
Yeah, I truly don't understand what LeBron James was thinking because he's a smart guy and that just seemed like, why do that? I don't know. Maybe somebody wanted him to. I have no idea what that was about. I don't see how anyone has leverage over LeBron James. Now, turning to a company that is not at this time in China, Netflix. We've seen Netflix kowtow to the Saudis. Of course, they pulled an episode of Hasan Minhaj's show because he criticized the Saudi regime. They pulled it in Saudi Arabia. So it's not like they're so pure, but they're not in China. And we've been talking about them a lot lately because, of course, the stream of competitors is coming into the field of play. They had a miss the last time they reported their earnings. This time they recovered from this bad second quarter news, which really cost them. them. They added almost 6.8 million new members in the third quarter, about 500,000 plus in the U.S. So that's a little bit less than what the forecast, but it's still not terrible. Nonetheless, you know, analysts are, they're not sour on the company, but they're downgrading it a bit.
Well, the expectations, but I actually think these Netflix numbers are fine. It was a recovery from the second quarter when they actually lost subscribers in the U.S. And, you know, it just shows that right now we're going to be monitoring these numbers really closely because Netflix is about to get two major competitors next quarter in Disney Plus and Apple TV Plus. And they have described these upcoming streaming services as possibly causing some, quote, headwinds, end quote. And yeah. I think that's a big understatement because Netflix essentially has been operating on its own. There are other streaming services, but Netflix is the 800-pound gorilla in this space. And over the next 6 months, you're going to have a bunch of competitors, including those two I mentioned, plus Comcast, plus Warner Media. And every quarter, we're going to see Netflix's feet held to the fire on whether they're growing. And if they stop growing, the stock will absolutely tank. And then the entire model is put at risk.
Well, I will say, I will note that they, you know, raised their U.S. prices. This is Netflix speak. They said, since our U.S. price increase earlier this year, retention has not yet fully returned on a sustained basis to pre-price change levels, meaning people are not saying they really want to pay the money. Now, I will just look ahead to the fourth quarter. The Crown, The Irishman, The Two Popes. I think a lot of people are going to want to watch that, but those do feel like HBO type of programs. I don't know what else they have for the, I mean, they have millions of things for everybody, but for, at least for, you know, the people who like that kind of thing, they are not going to be dropping Netflix in the fourth quarter.
No, I actually, I agree. I think Netflix is going to have a big fourth quarter because it really is about the shows, or if you believe Netflix, it's about the content. They will have people that will sign up and then cancel. And they'll have people that came back apparently for Stranger Things this past quarter. And they revealed that 60 million accounts watched Stranger Things. That's a gigantic number. I mean, they have 150 million subscribers, a little more than that now. So, you know, it really is all about the content for Netflix, which is why they keep debuting a new thing every 20 seconds.
Every 20 seconds. They're not selling socks. They're not selling telephones and watches. They are selling Netflix. Thank you, Matt.
Thank you.
That's Matt Bellany, editorial director of The Hollywood Reporter.